Hello and welcome to Weekend Watchlist, a look at what's screening and streaming, brought to you by the Letterboxd Show. I'm Mitchell, he's Slim.
Hi.
And together we'll dig through what's dropping this weekend, last weekend, recent trends on Letterboxd, and we'll also take a peek at our own watch list, all under 30 minutes, or Slim and I will be forced into a wrestling tag team against Michael B. Jordan and Jonathan Majors.
God.
And it won't end well.
It's not going to go well. I'm going to have to get, like, you know, powder to blow in their face so that we can win by cheating somehow. So we're back. Weekend Watchlist is back. We're slashing into your podcast apps. This week is so deadly that it needs help to bring it to you. So we asked our friends at Mubi, a curated streaming service showing exceptional films from around the globe. From iconic directors to emerging auteurs, there's always something new for you to discover. And with Mubi, each and every film is hand-selected. It's like your own personal film festival, streaming anytime, anywhere, in the ring, with the powder in the eyes or not. And for a limited time, you can try Mubi for free, 90 days, at Mubi.com/letterboxd. That's M-U-B-I.
Yeah, this month is, we all know, it's Oscar month. Everybody's talking Oscars. Letterboxd, we've got a whole podcast about it. Best in Show. Check it out if you haven't. But Mubi, they're running there. And the Oscar goes to series across March on their site. Think you know your Oscar history? Mubi presents a selection of winners and nominees from Oscars past. The perfect opportunity to brush up on your awards trivia. You know I love trivia. Fill some of those viewing gaps. Or convince yourself again that a certain film or performance was robbed, star-studded, and Oscar-nominated. The films in this selection are some of the choicest cuts from The Night of a Thousand Stars, including, I want to give a special shout-out here, to they're playing At Eternity's Gate, my boy Willem Dafoe playing Vincent Van Gogh. I mean, what can go wrong there? His most recent of his four Oscar nominations, hasn't won yet, Academy. What are we thinking? What are we doing?
Wow. So that's Mubi.com/letterboxd for 90 days free. There's so much I want to follow up with there. First, A, has Mitchell ever lost a game of trivia in their life? And then B, has your Willem Dafoe conversation posted yet? Is that still under wraps?
Breaking news on this podcast. I have spoken with Willem Dafoe. We chatted. We got along. We were smiling. We were laughing, having a good time. Are we best friends? I think so. I don't know. You'd have to ask him, but pretty sure we are. It will be dropping next week on Journal. Maybe a little bit of audio. Maybe we'll drop in a little audio for a weekend watch list with me and Willem for insights coming out next week from Focus Features. I think maybe you'll hear a little Willem on next week's episode.
Willem, co-host to the stars on Weekend Watch List next week. This week, we'll talk Scream 6, 65 with Adam Driver, a new Luther movie hitting Netflix, community reviews, tagged Weekend Watch List, what that same community thought of last week's movies, and we'll shuffle our very own watch list together forever.
Forever, as we are going to be screaming forever when we go to the theaters to see Scream 6, directed by Matt Bettinelli-Olpin and Tyler Gillette. It's on 47,000 watch lists. These are the same guys who gave us Scream 5. They're bringing the series back. And Scream 6, though, following the latest Ghostface killings, the four survivors from the last, last movie, leave Wordsboro behind and start a fresh chapter in New York City. We're going to the big city, the Big Apple. We're screaming.
The Windy Apple.
The Windy Apple. The city of brotherly apples.
First of all, I'm excited for this. I love the Scream franchise. I feel like Scream is on the up and up now. People are awakened to the fun franchise that is the Scream movies. You know, they're going back to watch the older one, the one we all grew up with. And then this is like the Scream that came out recently. This is like a new generation for folks to grow up with a Scream horror movie, kind of like meta movie. So I personally am excited for this. And what about you?
Yeah, I'm stoked for it. And the word that I've been getting is that, you know, I'm getting the word that I'm personally getting.
People are sending you whispers. They're letting you know in the DM, the Signal app.
People, as everybody knows, you see Scream, you get out, you DM me and let me know your thoughts. Or you can post a review on your Letterbox, which is where we're getting a lot of talk from people. Like I am a big fan of the franchise. I love the first three, especially. Shout out three, I think, you know, kind of a masterpiece, Scream 3. But I wasn't crazy on the last one, but I will say even some of these Letterboxd reviews, like Althea says, oh, this 8, like it's not perfect, but it's honestly just pure and extremely fun slasher goodness. This one was so much more funny And while I do wish the story was much more fleshed out, Scream 6 really delivered. I absolutely adored all the Easter eggs and references they had to the previous films, from the music to the direct callbacks. Everything was just so chef's kiss to me. Another thing I loved is how many chase scenes we had in this one. Ooh. Like, we barely had any in Scream 5. And here we get chase scene after chase scene, and it's literally just everything. I'm seeing even people who weren't crazy on 5 really dig 6. So that's good news for me.
Okay, I liked 5. I loved Nev's drip in that movie. That leather jacket that she wore, holy cow, she had it going on. There's also whispers, confirmed, they're not really whispers. We have a confirmation that Letterboxd gets a name drop in the movie as well. And in a way, like when we found that out, I feel like that makes sense. If there's any franchise that will make a meta reference to a movie-related platform, it's probably Scream.
They got their finger on the pulse here. And make sure, I want to say, for Scream fans on Letterboxd too, maybe we got a little Easter egg on the site. I don't know.
All right, we heard from Jasmine Savoy Brown. Jasmine was asked, what are some recent movies that scare the crap out of you? And here's what Jasmine had to say.
M3gan, that was pretty good. Cocaine Bear is up there. Yeah, why don't we go ahead and add Puss in Boots? I know it wasn't a classic horror in the that sense, but he asked some existential questions, and those really scared me.
Puss in Boots.
Puss in Boots.
Sure, the horror tag maybe should be added for
honestly,
some of those scenes.
Yeah, the Wolf Grim Reaper and Puss in Boots The Last Wish is like nightmares. I have been up. I've been up for 3 months since I saw that movie. I can't sleep.
All right, we have so much to get to this week. We have to move on, maybe to the most anticipated movie of the year, 65, directed by Scott Beck and Brian Woods. Only on 24,000 watch lists. This is in theaters. After a catastrophic crash on an unknown planet, pilot Mills quickly discovers he's stranded on Earth 65 million years ago.
Oh, shit.
Now, with only one chance at rescue, Mills and the only other survivor, Koa, must make their way across an unknown terrain riddled with dangerous prehistoric creatures in an epic fight to survive. Adam Driver, back in time. What do you think, Mitchell?
I'm stoked for this. I'll be honest, I haven't seen the first 64, but I'm just gonna go. I think
so dumb.
I'm just gonna go into 65 blind because I feel like, you know, it's a simple setup. You know, you throw Adam Driver back in time. What, he's getting chased by dinosaurs? I'm in. I mean, that's all I need. Yeah. This is written and directed by the same guys who wrote A Quiet Place. And I feel like they know what they're doing. They got, you know, they're sitting in a room, two guys just hanging out. They're like, what do people want to see in a movie? Adam Driver v. dinosaurs? Yeah, let's do it. Let's put it on the big screen. Mitchell's going to want to go see it.
I mean, Adam, we get plenty of Adam Driver mumblecore. Mm-hmm. You know, he's playing these wacky characters. Put him in back in time with a gun against dinos. This is what I need right now. Milo left a review. It's Adam Driver and the dinosaur cast of Jurassic Park. Why did he do this film? I don't know. Did I enjoy it? Yes. A pleasant and easy watch with a super short and sweet runtime. That's a great, great insight right there. I love it.
Daria left a review that just says, Adam Driver grunting and falling over for 90 minutes. What else are you looking for?
I know,
that's what the people want.
I'm just as excited to see this as I am Scream 6. Maybe more so.
But I'll say one thing that people have not stopped thinking about is Luther, The Fallen Son. Directed by Jamie Payne, only on 2.8K watch list. This is coming out. It's played in some theaters internationally. It's coming out on Netflix. This is a continuation of the series Luther. People have been clamoring for years to get the Luther movie to finally tie things up. The synopsis for this one, a gruesome serial killer is terrorizing London while brilliant but disgraced detective John Luther sits behind bars. Haunted by his failure to capture the cyber psychopath who now taunts him, Luther decides to break out of prison to finish the job by any means necessary.
Oh,
jeez,
God.
What a synopsis.
Okay.
How are you feeling about Luther, Slim?
I feel like everyone knows maybe a handful of cyber psychopaths in their lives. Mm-hmm. So
we're all taunted. We're all taunted.
We are all taunted. So this is on Netflix, and I think I watched maybe the first couple episodes of Luther, and what I didn't realize is that the final season is, maybe it was like 4 years ago. Mm-hmm. So it's been 4 years since folks have gotten Luther. And this picks up essentially when the previous season ends. So everyone loves Idris. Everyone loves Idris. They want Elba as Bond. They're getting Elba as Luther. He's mm-hmm. back. Have you ever watched the show?
Yeah, so I watched the first season of it. I haven't watched the others, but I dug the first season, and like I feel like it's a really great role for him. He's great. Like he's great as like an action lead in those kind of movies, mm-hmm. or like I love him in the Hobbs and Shaw movie as the big bad in that. Like he rules in that. But wow. Disgraced detective Idris Elba, him and just like this gruff. He's got this beard and like the Luther mm-hmm. things, and like it's just. I really dig him in this. He's got such a gravitas to him. I definitely know, like, when I think of Idris Elba, I think of Luther and I think of Stringer Bell and The Wire. And so I know people are stoked for this, but we've got plenty of reviews on Letterboxd from people who do love the show. Like Joshi, who says, as a huge fan of the show, I had the biggest smile on my face just seeing the iconic John Effin Luther on the big screen where he truly belongs. Luther and that sexy jacket of his is brought to life by Idris Elba. And apart from Stringer Bell, I can't see any other character that he's truly put so much work into crafting as his own.
A lot of cursing in these reviews for Luther. People are so jacked. The Shape left review. Holy effing S. This film absolutely effed. First of all, I want to talk about how brilliantly written this film is. It feels almost as if this film is a metaphor for the power of black male corruption in the police force and how scary the internet can be. So the fans of the show are very pleased so far.
I hear it absolutely Fs. And another movie that I've been told absolutely Fs, 80 for Brady. Finally hit in VOD, 4.5 out of 5-star rating from my old pal Slim. I cannot wait to pay $20 to rent this. Maybe I'll just pay the $25 and buy it. I'm going to be watching this. I know I'm going to be watching this on repeat.
It's only $5 more to buy it. You might as well. Oh my God. I'm so excited to hear your thoughts on 80 for Brady. 80 for Brady absolutely Fs. The movie is a treat. I had so much fun in theaters when I saw it. I hope everyone can enjoy 80 for Brady like I did.
All the kids are saying 80 for Brady Fs.
All right, let's go back to last week. Let's see how the previous week's releases are doing. Creed 3, it's doing great right now, if I can be frank with you. 3.8 average on Letterboxd. Thomas left a review. Yes, dude. Absolutely. Thank you so much. This is a film about two guys who could really use a yoga class together and chat about what's on their chest, except it includes a scene where one of those guys drags a plane across a runway by his waist. So Creed 3 is popping off right now.
Wow. Yeah. The highest grossing opening weekend for a sports movie ever. Creed
That's
3.
Nuts.
That is massive. Wow. I cannot wait to see that movie. I'm also, so Operation Fortune, Ruse de Guerre, or as...
It takes a lot for pronunciation to get me to laugh. And that was amazing.
Or as Mia calls it, Operation Fortune Rise of Gru. Not as high as Creed 3. Sit at a 3.0 average from Guy Ritchie. Some reviews, like Fran Hoffner calls the movie dog ass. That's all of Fran's review.
Stop laughing at that review. I could not stop laughing. That's a fun review.
That's a fun
two-word fun review.
But there are plenty of positive reviews, too. Like Jake Fisher, who calls the movie Guy Ritchie Mission, I assume referring to this as Guy Ritchie's Mission Impossible, took a little bit of a start, but as soon as Josh Hartnett entered the picture, I was sold. The whole cast is great, but Aubrey Plaza easily stole the show. Only complaint was I needed more Hugh Grant. Lots of, as we heard from last week's episode, lots of Hugh Grant praise, Aubrey Plaza. Love seeing some Josh Hartnett get in love, though. Josh Hartnett, he's coming back this year. My boy's in Oppenheimer.
Coming back. I have to say, even though we read Fran's review, which is hilarious, I think it was a 1-star, most of my friends loved this movie. I was shocked. I was seeing like 4-star reviews coming for Operation Fortune.
I'm not even
going to attempt to pronounce that after Mitchell's version. There's no
topping
that.
I got it. You don't need to. I don't know what you're talking about.
Palm Trees and Power Lines sitting in a 3.3 average rating. But what do you want to spotlight? Anything from the previous week? Mitchell, you want to highlight?
Oof. I mean, there's so much going on these days. I want to highlight some stuff that's going on with our social team right now. We've been pulling in some really fantastic videos. We've got Cate Blanchett on our YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, wherever you want to look at. She is accepting Brian Formo, our, you know, editorial producer, got in a room with her, handed her the trophy, physical trophy, for being the most watched actress on Letterboxd in 2022. She had some beautiful words about how much it means to get that kind of an award. So people check that out. But I also want to shout out, speaking of Cate Blanchett, Academy Award winning actress nominated this year for Tar, the Academy themselves, the people who put on the Oscars, mm-hmm. put together this video of this year's nominees reading your Letterboxd community reviews of their films, of their nominated films. We've got that just dropped minutes before we started recording this episode. Already popping off, people losing their minds. So that also, you know, all of our socials, YouTube, everything, or not on ours, it's on the Academy's, but we have shared it on ours. But the Academy, they said, you know what, this is top quality stuff. We're gonna post it ourselves and get it. You can reshare it. So I mean, people check that out. Very cool to see this year's nominees reading Letterboxd reviews. What about you, Slim? Speaking of the Academy Awards taking place in LA, I don't know if people haven't listened to Best in Show yet. Maybe
they call me Mr. LA now. Mr. LA. I do want to call out too, the Love Letters video from the Academy mm-hmm. is nuts. Like we as Letterboxd crew members see how many users are starting to use Letterboxd, rate movies, et cetera. But like there's these like big peak moments that I see over the course of the company's history. And that is just like an insane thing that took place. I still can't believe the video exists. It's nuts. So congratulations to everyone who worked so hard at that, including Brian on that. But back to me,
back
Mr.
To you.
LA.
Let's talk about Slim for a bit.
So me and I worked the blue carpet at the Spirit Awards. That was my first carpet experience. So fun. Up close and personal with many people, many famous people. Mm-hmm. And we're asking them fun questions. You know, we get like 30 seconds to 2 minutes with some folks. And it's fun to ask them the Best in Show question. Like, what's the first award you ever won? And mm-hmm. it's fun to get them to open up, you know, with a question like that, as opposed to the normal types of things. And we're asking them, like, what's your favorite, you know, independent film, like the John Cassavetes Award. So it's also cool to see actors and filmmakers go pretty deep mm-hmm. on like a movie that inspired them. They love movies just like us. They're just like us, folks.
Was there one answer you can think of that surprised you the most? That really was like deep cut?
You know, it was great to see Mia interact with the filmmakers, because Mia would always mention like opening night, mm-hmm. John Cassavetes. So they would also just go long on his library. Mm-hmm. I think I heard a few Mikey and Nikki call outs, and Mia just like started beaming. So
oh yeah.
Those were the stuff I really enjoyed. Like seeing us connect with like people of that stature about movies. It's mm-hmm. just super cool to see. Speaking of, I mean, I'll just tease a little bit. We went to the Academy Museum for like a tour. Mm-hmm. Like the four of us. And in the corner of our eye, we saw Guillermo del Toro in the gift shop.
Wow.
With someone walking around. And we had done a Best in Show interview with Guillermo. It was super fun. So Brian went over and said hello, like, oh, Guillermo, it's Brian from Letterboxd. And Guillermo's like, oh, yeah, I'm just walking around with Ted from Netflix. Just give me a few minutes. Let's get coffee. The whole Letterboxd team sat for like 90 minutes with Guillermo del Toro at the Academy Museum, talking about whatever, movies, manga.
I saw a pic of you and him comparing watches.
Watches. Philadelphia. I was getting his opinions on Philadelphia. Just a great person. I think everyone has heard the stories of Guillermo del Toro being so generous with his time, so kind. All those stories
are all legit. True. They're true. All true.
They're all true. Harrison Ford.meme from Star Wars. So that is just a very cool moment, highlight from the trip. It was a great trip. We also did a Puss in Boots screening mm-hmm. at DreamWorks. Another peak moment for Letterboxd. Very cool to hang out with Letterboxd members. So that's just a little teaser of our trip.
Puss in Boots in the top 100 on Letterboxd now. 100 highest rated films of all time on Letterboxd.
It passed Singin' in the Rain.
Oof.
Retire. Singin' in the Rain. Retire.
Stanley Donen, get out of here.
All right, enough about me. We need to talk about the Letterboxd Hot 100. Mm-hmm. The amount of DMs I get weekly, people say, I love the Hot 100. Keep it going. It deserves its own show.
Full episode.
Retire all podcasts except for the Hot 100. So this is the most watch-listed movies of the previous week. Mitchell, do you have a guess what might have changed in the top three?
Yeah, here we go. This is last time I was on, I think I cracked it. And so now the pressure feels higher because now it feels like, oh, Mitchell cracked it. Mitchell's maybe the best guesser we've ever, maybe Mitchell's got some sort of secret, you know, maybe Mitchell's the smartest person that's ever existed or been on a podcast.
Right.
And so it's tough. Like I'm coming in, but I'm going to use the same strategy. Creed 3, biggest opening weekend of all time for a sports movie. So I'm going to guess maybe Creed 3 is on top.
On top of the list? Wrong.
Oh,
but
no.
However, I'll caveat that it's in the top three. It made the top three. So the trends the big releases,
that,
maybe VOD, it's working. Cocaine
Scream?
Bear remains at
Cocaine
the top.
Bear. Okay.
Cocaine Bear,
that
the whale,
bear.
Believe it or not, is still holding strong in the top three.
Wow.
The one other call out I want to mention is Women Talking jumped into the top 10 for the first time since we started tracking this. So
you think it's because of Mark Wahlberg? Mark Wahlberg, Women Are Talking. People said, wait, Women Are Talking? I got to look into this on Letterboxd.
I don't even want to mention his name on this show. But, you know, you can see the award season, Women Talking obviously won many awards over the last week, several weeks. So you can see that start to jump up the
Adapted screenplay, a screenplay at the Spirit
That's
Awards.
That's correct.
Yeah,
very true. Let's head to the watch list. Every week we shuffle our own watch list, but we all also want to spotlight reviews tagged weekend watch list from our community. And Bryce X Chapman left a review for Ghost Watch. This movie had to have ruined somebody's decade. Ghost Watch, one of my favorite mockumentaries at the time. Nobody knew it was a mockumentary of a house that was haunted on live TV. You just watched that, right?
Yeah, you and I were DMing a little bit because you noticed I posted, you know, on the socials that I was watching Ghost Watch for the first time. You sent me a DM. You know, very stoked, very excited that I was watching Ghost Watch. Yeah, I got that new Blu-ray that came out last year, and it is, I never seen it before. That movie is a trip. Even going in knowing that it's false, you really get suckered into just being like, wait, is this shit real? Like, is this is this actually real?
I know. Like, can you imagine no internet? You're not texting your buddies, and then a live network news show does a ghost hunt in a house. And it gets nutty.
Yeah, they just play it out. Like, it's just like a BBC report. Like, it's a thing that you're watching live. You have the reporters, like, talking to, like, the reporters in the studio talking to the reporters, like, on the ground, in the house and everything. And then stuff starts to go haywire. And, they really lull you into this, like, full sense of security because it is kind of like a very, very effective slow build. So glad that Bryce watched it. I agree with Bryce. I, you know, watched it alone in my apartment and I had trouble. I even watching the movie in my living room, I was like looking down the hallway, like, is somebody over there? Did I hear something?
We mentioned Singing in the Rain. Angelina left his Singing in the Rain review. Ashamed to admit this was a first watch. Even more ashamed that it was a 2022 release that gave me the push to finally cross it off my watch list. Perfect movie. Holy S. Shout out to Babylon and the entire Babylon Hive. We are Legion. Never feel ashamed to watch a popular movie for the first time. This is my entire existence, Angelina. Do you know how many movies I still haven't seen yet?
That's part of what I love so much about Letterboxd is that, like, a movie, you see a movie like Babylon and then you see Singing in the Rain, people talking about Singing in the Rain because of Babylon, then you go and add Singing in the Rain to your watch list and then you watch it for the first time. Like, it's all about the ecosystem. It's all working. It's all about getting people to, you know, add more movies to their watch list and watch them and check them out and then fall in love with Singing in the Rain for the first time. But what about you, Slim? I listened to the last episode and I...
Raise the Titanic was my shuffle last week. Let me pull it up. 1980. I mean, the title says it all. Jerry Jameson. Listen, this sounds like a made-up movie. This sounds like a movie from the plot of Decker from On Cinema. Scientists and the government need to raise the Titanic because it contains a valuable mineral that can stop nuclear war. Like, that is insane. It has a pretty good cast, and each time they talk about, like, actually raising the Titanic, the music hits, and it's, like, the most noble thing any human being has ever done in history, where you're just literally raising the Titanic.
They gotta raise it.
Lots of miniatures used. I think it drifted into so bad it's good territory. It's at a 2.4 on Letterboxd right now. It's streaming almost everywhere. I might give it 3. I didn't rate it, but I feel like this is a 3 banger for me.
Mm-hmm.
When are you going to watch Raise the Titanic? That's the question.
I mean, maybe I'll watch it. Maybe I'll double bill it with 80 for Brady tonight. you really sold it. Three out of
How often can you see a team put foam at the bottom of a sunken ship and raise it and it becomes perfectly floatable.
If that's what you're looking for, there's only one movie you can get it. So
yeah.
Mm-hmm. You gotta raise it.
What did you get when you shuffled last?
I got a movie that's on the same prestige level of Raise the Titanic, I think. I watched Chantal Ackerman's first narrative feature film, J'ai tu il elle. Her second, her follow-up to this was Jean Dielman, the highest rated film of all time on the new Sight and Sound poll. But J'ai tu il elle, similar to Jean Dielman, it's very like journalistic, very like diary-esque. You're basically just following this woman living her life. She's, you know, a little bit despondent after a breakup. The first chunk of the movie is her just like in her place, like trying to figure out kind of how to move through her life. She's like moving around furniture. She's eaten spoonfuls of sugar out of a brown paper bag. God. She drops some of it on the floor and just scoops it back up off the floor and puts it into the bag. It's a bummer, but and then it goes into other sections. She has like a kind of interaction with a man. She meets back up with her ex, and you just really follow her living her life. And I think that Chantal Ackerman has, I love Jean Dielman. That's like my second favorite movie of all time. And this is one that I've been wanting to see for a while. And it does that similar thing where she has such a gift, I think, for like capturing the transcendent in like the mundane. She gets this like fly on the wall kind of quality of just following this woman through her life. And I just feel like my mind just keeps coming back to you. You really get like washed away into just watching this woman going through, and you kind of forget that you're watching a movie. You just feel like you're living in that space with her. And I think it captures like depression and like melancholy in this really beautiful way that feels so honest. And like, I feel like I was this woman so many times, like in my life, you know? So yeah, I mean, basically the same as Race to Titanic, honestly.
The poster is gorgeous.
Yeah.
The poster is nuts. All right, we have to head back to our watch list. Mm. We have to do it all over again. We have to shuffle to determine what we're going to watch next before we meet. I'm going to head to my watch list. I'm going to filter by stream only. I only want to watch movies that are readily available for streaming. And I'm going to sort by shuffle. And the first movie... Oh my God, hell yes. Hell yes. Starring Christopher Lambert, Greystoke, The Legend of Tarzan, Lord of the Apes. Streaming on HBO Max. Oh, I don't even know if I need to read the description for that, but the poster is incredible. My God, his body is unreal.
That is
this
a great
poster. God bless. I'm ready.
Andy McDowell's in that.
What a cast. Ian Holm.
Directed by the director of Chariots of Fire.
Oh, my God. And also the director of Revolution.
Revolution with
Al Pacino. What could go wrong? What did you get?
I mean, that's a very slim pick. I got, my film is called Jeremy from 1973, directed by Arthur Barron. Tagline, it's about the first time you fall in love. The synopsis, Jeremy is learning cello at an art school in New York. At school, he spots Susan, who practices for a ballet audition, and he falls in love. This is a film, I know our head of social media, Aaron Yap, really, really loves this movie, has talked to me about how much he loves this movie plenty of times. Very excited to watch it. It's recently, I have the Blu-ray that got put out by Fun City Editions, my favorite Blu-ray label. So very stoked to check this out. People who want to stream it, it's on Amazon Prime and Paramount Plus.
Fun City. Call us. Let's talk.
Let's talk, Fun City. Come on the pod.
Thanks so much for listening to Weekend Watchlist, brought to you by The Letterboxd Show. You can follow Mitchell, Mia, Slim, that's me, and our HQ page on Letterboxd using the links in our episode notes, and maybe leave a rating on Spotify or Apple as it helps spread the word about the show.
Thanks to our crew, and thanks to Letterboxd member Trent Walton for the theme music, Eyes On. Thanks to Jack for the facts and Sophie Shin for the episode transcripts. And most of all, thanks to you for listening. Weekend Watchlist is, as always, a Tape Deck production.
This is a Tape Deck podcast. Mm-hmm.